Next Tuesday, Ingham County voters will help determine who will represent them in the U.S. Congress. Today and tomorrow, Kern State visits with both of the major party candidates. Many observers favor Republican Mike Bishop to win in the 8th District, which comprises Ingham, Livingston, and northern Oakland counties. The former state Senate majority leader says strengthening the U.S. economy is his top priority. His record includes regular support for spending and tax reductions, Second Amendment rights, right-to-life issues, and opposition to Obamacare and big government. Supporters of Democrat Eric Schertzing accuse Mr. Bishop of contributing to gridlock that led to state government shutdowns in 2006 and 2009. He's also been accused of resisting calls for a new Detroit River Bridge to Canada, some from members of his own party. To address those issues and to talk about his campaign, we welcome back to Current State Republican Mike Bishop. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you very much. Good to be here.
The conventional wisdom here in 2014 is that the 8th District is a pretty safe district for Republicans. Is that conventional wisdom accurate, Mike Bishop?
I don't know what's safe anymore. I do know that this district is one that Mike Rogers carried very well. He's a man of integrity that had a lot of trust in this community and carried it in a strong way in terms of his election outcomes. But there are a lot of things going on right now that make this a unique election year, and I don't take anything for granted.
Hmm. You tout your credentials as a conservative. You're pro-life. You're a right-to-work supporter. You're a Second Amendment supporter. But when you're on the campaign trail and you meet a Republican who is a big supporter of Governor Rick Snyder, and they say, Mike, why can't you be more open to Medicaid expansion? Why can't you be more open to Common Core standards? How do you respond to those Republicans?
Well, I think we all have issues that we disagree with each other on, and I'm a supporter of Governor Snyder. I was around for the Granholm years, and I can't tell you how night and day different this state is as a result of his leadership and the leadership in the state legislature. But we differ on issues. We differ on Common Core. We differ on Medicaid expansion and some of these other matters. I don't think that that's bad to agree with somebody 80, 90% of the time and still call them a friend.
But how do you respond to the voters who really like that approach?
Who really like that approach or do not like that approach?
Who like that approach? Who like Governor Snyder's approach more, say, than your approach?
Well, I just tell them we disagree. You know, I've tried to be as rational as I can about my explanation when it comes to Medicaid expansion. For example, I tell them I've gone through state budgeting before. Medicaid is breaking our state budget, and the expansion is completely unsustainable. And the very idea that Obamacare has created an even bigger problem frightens me for all states, because while I was in state government, our state budget for Medicaid expanded 62%. And with this new expansion, although the feds say that they're going to take care of it the first couple of years, there's no guarantee that they're going to do that thereafter. It's going to be on the backs of the state and the state taxpayers. So I try to be rational with people, explain to them why. And I lived through one of the most difficult financial downturns in our state's history, and we learned to do whatever we could to save money wherever we could, and we monitored all line items. So I just think that's something that you do as an elected member, a fiduciary of the taxpayer money, is you watch very closely.
Mike Bishop is our guest. He's the Republican candidate for the 8th Congressional District, which includes Lansing and East Lansing. The Detroit News, which endorses you, says you worked with Democrats. To what extent, and at the same time, you have this reputation as being, you know, resisting of exactly the opposite, at least from your critics. To what extent can you say you worked with Democrats?
Well, to the extent that we had to keep government running, we had a number of issues. Some of them were forefront on the in the media, where we it appeared as though we could never agree on anything. But the reality is that, for the most part, we did agree on things to keep the state going. To major policy matters, we found agreement. There was significant debate and sometimes arguing that went on. But in the end, we moved the state forward. When it came to budget debates, those were the most heated, because it was probably one of the most difficult times in our state's history in terms of our financial condition. We were losing $100 million a month in state revenues. That's how fast it was falling off. That's how poorly the economy was performing. And the situation was critical. So the very fact that we were able to balance the budget the way we did, despite the fact that it, in an occasion it came later than it should, we did get it done. It was balanced, and we worked together to get that done. I still consider Andy Dillon a very close friend of mine. He's the Democratic Speaker of the House at the time. And he and I worked very hard not to make things personal. It was issue-oriented, and we made sure we defended each other in front of our respective caucuses so that we didn't have that kind of personal attack in the media all the time.
As I'm asking most of the candidates here that come on our program about the Ebola situation and ISIS, specifically those of you running for national office or running for office in Washington, as you have campaigned in recent weeks, have the Ebola situation or ISIS come up? Are those on voters' minds?
Oh, yes. I hear that frequently, and there's not to the extent of panic, but certainly folks are very concerned about it, and more concerned about the fact that our federal government does not seem to be handling it in a way that's consistent with our core function of government, which is to protect families.
Have you started forming positions on a position on Ebola? How should we proceed with both of those issues, Ebola and Islamic State?
Well, that's an interesting combination of issues, but I on the Ebola issue, I have, from the very outset, believed that we should have had some kind of travel ban in place, just for the sheer fact of keeping, for building confidence with the people that are the citizens of this country. You know, we don't seem to have a handle on things. The CDC tells us one thing, and the evidence tells us another. This is a very great concern to a lot of folks out there, and I would hope that the federal government would get a handle on this and drive the confidence level up for Americans, that they know what they're doing, that they've got it under control. And I did support a travel ban. I continue to support a travel ban. I know that Governor Christie's taken a lot of heat for that, his mandatory quarantine periods. But I think elected officials need to do whatever they have to make sure that people are safe. On the ISIS issue, that is one of the greatest concerns that I have in terms of our international policy and the lack thereof. We have really abandoned our principles as a nation, and foreign countries and foreign leaders now do not look to the United States like they used to, and it's because we do not have a consistent foreign policy. We have Christians in the Middle East who are being chased up into the mountains, their children being abducted, killed right in front of their eyes, and we're conducting airstrikes right now. I view that as more of a political move than anything else. I don't know that it's stopping ISIS in their tracks, but it's something that we've got to take seriously and do whatever we have to eradicate that threat.
Would you be open to U.S. troops in Iraq to fight ISIS?
I think it's my responsibility as an elected member of government, if given the opportunity to serve, to consider that. I think you have to leave all options on the table and make sure that you don't signal to your enemy that you're not willing to, as one of the greatest fighting forces in the world, to come to the aid of these folks who are being terrorized. And it's I am shocked talking to the Chaldean community, for example, about how many folks in our community right here in the Southeast Michigan area that have family over there that are being summarily executed. And they depend on the United States to be to assist at a time of great need. And we really have got to reevaluate our position in the Middle East to decide whether or not the United States needs to take a greater role to defend that region and defend the very powerless in that area.
But you would be open to U.S. troops there. You're not in a position to take anything off the table, is what you said, right?
Absolutely. Okay. I don't think any of us should, and I think it's wrong for the president to do that and signal to the enemy that it's just not going to happen.
When you Mike Bishop is our, I almost called you Mike Rogers. Mike, that's probably not the first time that's happened.
No, it's not.
Mike Bishop is our guest. He is the GOP candidate for the 8th Congressional District, which includes Ingham County. When you were in the state Senate, you resisted efforts to move forward on Detroit's new international trade crossing. I believe most of what's required to move forward with that is congressional approval of money for construction of the trade plaza. If you're elected, would you continue to resist efforts for a new Detroit bridge? Hello. Okay, it appears we've lost Mike Bishop. And we are going to feverishly try to reconnect with him. You're listening to Current State here on 90.5 WKAR. I'll point out we've got a few more minutes with Mike Bishop, and tomorrow we visit with Mike Bishop's opponent, the Democrat Eric Schertzing, current Ingham County Treasurer, and I'm getting the thumbs up. Mike Bishop, are you there?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I'm sorry.
Heck, sorry about that. Well, I was talking about your resistance in the past to move forward on Detroit's new international trade crossing. I believe what's required now is congressional approval of money for building the trade plaza. If you're elected, would you continue to resist efforts for a new Detroit bridge?
I would resist efforts, and I have in the past, if there's no money to pay for it. I, at the state level, when given the opportunity to weigh in on this subject, I opted to not support the bridge for one primary purpose, and that is we did not have the money to pay for it. And I think it's a mistake for any level of government where you serve, whether or not you serve on the local school board or if you're in the federal government, to continue deficit spending. I'm a firm believer that if we're going to budget for items, that we need to figure out where that money comes from instead of continuing to borrow and beg for whatever it costs for these items. And
so much of this is being footed by the Canadians, though, is it not? And it's also a project with a lot of a fair amount of bipartisan support. Supporters claim it's expected to create all kinds of jobs. Many people feel that the only roadblock is Maddie Maroon, who has been a contributor to your current campaign. How are voters supposed to put all of this into perspective?
Well, I put it in perspective first of all, campaigns receive contributions. I've received contributions from a lot of individuals out there, and I was endorsed by the Detroit Chamber of Commerce, and this is their number one issue. They support the bridge, but they supported me because they believe in my work as a public servant. But this isn't about who contributed to what or where the endorsements come from. This is about a responsibility of government to be responsible with the money that they spend, because it is taxpayer money. And I have always believed, and I continue to believe, that the international trade with Canada is important, and I will support it to the extent that I can. But Canada has stepped up and will front the money, but we are expected to pay it back over time. So it's not as though it's a freebie. Second of all, there is a huge cost to the Gateway Project, which is somewhere around $350 million taxpayer dollars. Now, if that's going to come from the United States government, folks in Nebraska and California and Florida and all around the country are going to have to vote on whether or not they want to use U.S. taxpayer money to build yet another Gateway Project in that Delray location. We just did the exact same thing at the Ambassador Bridge location. If you drive down I-75, you can see all that new cement there. It's just amazing to me that we can spend all that there and then duplicate it right down the road. And I don't know that other folks, it's not just going to be the Michigan delegation that decides whether or not that that gets funded. It's going to be a lot of folks around the country, and they're going to look long and hard at whether or not that expenditure is necessary and whether or not it's something we can do right now financially.
Mike Bishop's been our guest here on Current State. In 8 days, you'll see his name on the ballot for the 8th District seat up against Democrat Eric Schertzing. Mike Bishop, many thanks for joining us. Good luck.
Thank you very much.